Straight Talk on WRHI is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, Manning Kimmel.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. My name is Manning Kimmel. The program is called Straight Talk. We do it every weekday afternoon, talking about Rock Hill, Fort Mill, Tiga Cay, the great county of York, and everything else up and down I-77. And we do it right here on WRHI, South Carolina's seven-time radio station of the year. Our broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, as is highspeedweb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Well, is Fort Mill growing or is Fort Mill growing? We have got an assemblage of talent, raw professional talent around this table that's having a hard time keeping a straight face right now. That's going to discuss this in detail. Dr. Chuck Epps is with us. He is the superintendent of the Fort Mill School District, and Cole McKinney with the Catawba Regional Council of Governments. Gentlemen, how are we today?
Doing great.
All right, Cole, we're going to start with you. Tell everybody a little bit about Cole McKinney and the Catawba Regional Council of Governments.
Sure. So the Catawba Regional Council of Governments serves four counties in our region, Chester, Lancaster, Union, South Carolina, and York. We primarily contract with local jurisdictions, so towns, counties, and school districts. We do a large amount of planning work, comprehensive planning work, small area plans, and a lot of modeling and demographic data crunching for those jurisdictions as well, which is what brings us here today and the work that we've done with the Fort Mill School District.
So is the Catawba Regional Council of Governments, I mean, made possible by the counties you serve?
It is. Each one of the counties is a member of our organization, so they pay dues to be a member of our organization. It's a very small part of our budget, though. But as a member, those other local jurisdictions, the towns, the cities, and the school districts kind of come along with that. But the counties are the one who are actually paying the dues and are members of our organization.
And the rest of your budget comes from what, state and federal sources?
We earn it the old-fashioned way, as Randy Immler, our executive director, likes to say. It's all through contract work. We do grants administration for community development block grants, workforce development, and those types of things. But the planning work that we do is all contract-based. The unique thing about our organization, though, is we are a 501c3 nonprofit, so we don't have a profit motive in there. So we really kind of view ourselves as a mechanism for taxpayer savings to get this work done, because we can do it at cost.
And a man who needs absolutely no introduction, we say the man, the myth, and the legend, Dr. Chuck
Epps. When you've been somewhere as long as I have, I guess that's what you're becoming known as.
All right, so here we are in 2019, and you are on the cusp, Mr. Epps, Dr. Epps, of opening yet another school, a great, big, expensive school, which will be fully operational here next fall. Is that correct?
Right. And before I go there, let me answer your first question you started the program off with. Is Fort Mill School District still growing? The answer is a resounding yes. We were told by the builders during the latest impact fee effort that growth would slow down. We have, it has accelerated. We're still growing at 11 to 1,200 kids tracking per year, and we'll talk about that with Cole here in a minute. We have collected $6 million over $6 million since June in impact fees. So just wanted to get that in before we get started in regards to growth.
All right, with that being said, and I'm glad you brought it up, tell us what the status is of the court case brought by the State Realtors Association.
Yeah, they sued the, you know, the county approved the our request, the impact fee legislation. So they sued the county in July or August. So it was approved in July, and I think it was August or September when the lawsuit was brought forward. And they sent it straight to the Supreme Court. They kicked it back down to the local jurisdiction. So right now we're collecting the fees, and we're holding them pending the outcome of the litigation.
So all the rhetoric about an $18,000 impact fee killing growth in the Fort Mill area, appears to be false.
Well, the short answer is it is not slowed down.
So. Not at all.
Not at all.
Amazing. All right, so we're, I guess it's going to, then the court here will be right here in York County.
The way we understand it, right.
But you have no idea when that's going to be.
Well, both sides are working together for a sooner than later resolution, so we're hopeful. But, of course, there could be appeals. And to put a time limit on it, I would just be speculating.
And meanwhile, that money just sits in the bank.
Correct, correct.
Could you use it?
Oh, we could use it, yeah.
All right. So 1,100 to 1,200 additional students per year. Is going to create how many, I mean, you do all this planning. How many more schools do you see on the horizon here in the next, what, 5 years?
Well, we do five-year chunks on our planning, 10-year actually, but we really concentrate on 5 years as far as facilities, and that's where Cole and his group come in. But going forward, the current building program we're in, which was a result of the bond referendum that was passed last March, I believe, is two elementaries, a middle, with that one. So that takes us up to the year 2024, we project. Then we'll take the numbers and roll them forward each year from that. And, you know, when you look out to 2026, 27, there's another middle in there, another elementary. It just piles on as you go forward.
All right, Dr. McKinney, you're the one who prepares all the bad news. What are all of your analysis showing you in terms of this whole growth issue for Fort Mill?
Sure. Well, so on the 45th day of enrollment, which is a very typical, that is a standard that we look at. We look 45 days into the school year and see what the enrollment is and project out year over year on that day. At the 45th day of this current 2018-2019 school year, we had about 16,127 students in the Fort Mill School District. And that breaks out to about 48% in elementary, about 24% in middle, and about 28% in high school, just so you know kind of how that splits out. When we look back over the last 5 years, for example, we see an average of about 6.4% year-over-year growth. We had a couple of years in there, I think it was probably, I'd have to look back here, maybe like in 14-15 where it dipped a little bit, was down in the fours, but we've been as high as 7.4%. So 6-7% seems to be, when we look at it historically, a pretty good running year-over-year increase for the school district. We don't do straight line projections. It's much more complicated than that. But we're looking at a projected enrollment in August 2019 of 17,172. So that's, you know, about a, as Dr. Epps said, about a 1,100 student increase over that 1 year period. And then we project out over 5 years. It's very difficult to kind of look at that with any kind of degree of confidence beyond five. But if we push it all the way out to 2023, 24, we're at a little bit below 22,000 students, which is a significant increase for the school district to absorb.
So in the next year, maybe two, you're going to be bigger than the Rock Hill School District.
Well, if you look at the raw numbers, that's assuming Rock Hill School District doesn't start picking up more growth than they've experienced lately. They're growing, but not to the degree we are. Yeah, I would predict two to three if things remain the same. We would overtake Rock Hill as the number one school district in the county in student enrollment.
So, Cole, is there any other school district in South Carolina growing at this clip?
I can't speak to the entire state, but I know in our region they are by far growing at a faster rate than the other school districts that we look at. But I can't speak for the state as a whole, but, you know, 6-7% year-over-year growth is significant. Any way you look at it.
Any way you look at it. So, So it's going to be more of the same. I mean, this is where people want to be. They like being nestled right next to Charlotte. A lot of your parents obviously are commuting back and forth to work, although that's something we're trying to change in York County, trying to stop the clickety-clack, give you more opportunity down here. With that trend continuing, do you have enough land to build more schools?
That's a good question. The large tracts are are going away quickly, and so we've tried to stay ahead of the curve in that regard. We currently have, I think it's 4 bank sites from past referenda, and then we're using some of those to build these new additional schools now. But in the last referendum, we put monies in for additional land, so we're talking to 3 or 4 landowners currently to try to in anticipation of going and purchasing some large tracts. We would like to purchase them in areas of the district where the people are moving to, or where we can locate schools closer. We've not had that luxury. We're at the mercy of landowners who are willing to sell us the large tracts, and we're competing with business and residential interests who have deeper pockets than we do.
So to repeat what you said before, because I want to make sure some people hear this, you've collected $6 million in impact fees since June?
Since June, right.
June. Nothing has slowed down in terms of home ownership in Fort Mill. And the thought that this would kill the Fort Mill market just isn't true. The facts don't support it.
We've not seen it.
And we track building permits and certificate of occupancy. That's the basis for a lot of the analysis that we do. We're not seeing any kind of slowdown in that arena either. So I would agree. I don't know that it's had a negative impact on the building permit activity, certainly within the Fort Mill at TDK area, within the school district boundary.
Now, I don't know whether this is in your purview or not, Cole, but with all this growth, obviously it puts a growing demand as well on infrastructure.
Oh, absolutely.
Not only the schools, but water and sewer systems and what have you. Is that an issue you all get involved with?
We do get involved with that to some degree. York County handles a lot of that work on their own. We do a lot of that work outside of in the more rural counties, more so than we do in York. But we do deal with transportation issues greatly within York County. We work hand-in-hand with RFATS as they try to struggle with how to deal with the additional growth. Anybody that's traveled along 160 in recent years knows that that's a significant issue. Or even on I-77 and 21, that entire area up there is seeing increased congestion, and that is certainly going to be something that's going to have to be addressed as well. It's also important to understand, too, and Dr. Epps will back me up on this, those $18,000 in impact fees aren't just the school district. Those get stacked on top of one another. In other words, the county and the town.
Is the town, both TK and the town of Fort Mill have an impact fee. I think the county's looking to
is exploring that. Yeah. That's right. So those all get kind of stacked on top of one another, and that's all aimed at addressing these infrastructure needs and the being able to provide the services that are necessary in the light of the explosive growth.
Well, I mean, if on your way back down Cherry Road to cross over the river to get back to Fort Mill, you'll see the cranes up there at the water plant. I mean, they're expanding that thing again,
yep.
And they're already talking about the need to do the same thing with the sewage treatment plant.
Right.
So. The growth, Rock Hill Supplies, for those who are new to the area, they supply the water and sewer for pretty much everybody here in York County.
Right.
And
Well, and the reality is that the impact fees are really the only mechanism that these jurisdictions have to kind of meet these needs in light of, there are two ways you can do this. You can either diversify the type of development that you have in order to balance it out so that you've got commercial and industrial offsetting some of that residential growth. Or you have to do this because for the schools, for example, ever since kind of Act 388 took place, there's really not been a mechanism for you guys that I'm aware of.
Correct.
You can speak to that more than I can, Dr. Epps, but to fund these, the new facilities and everything that's needed to accommodate the new people that are coming in to live in the area.
I mean, how many bond referendums, Chuck, have there been, I don't know, in the last 10 or 15 years?
I'll go back to 1992, probably, I'm guessing 7. You know, I may be off one or two either way. that's one of our challenges, obviously. We've got a lot of debt on the capital side because we've had to build so many schools. So,
well, you got a huge amount of debt. I mean, it's
right.
What, $600 or $700 million?
Yes, correct.
Correct. But that's all bonded by what's coming in from the property taxes. And obviously the people in Fort Mill are willing to do this because they're the ones that have approved this time and time and time again because they want that education that you all have been able to provide.
Well, what has occurred? All the new people are moving in because of the school, largely because of the schools, other reasons too. But those numbers are dwarfing the no vote so far, and they've been able to vote positively at the ballot box for these schools.
There is no other alternative except to whatever. Start using the mobile classrooms.
Right, but that comes out of your operations side of your budget, which is the 388 issue. And so there really is no alternative other than educate them outside under the shade tree.
So are you getting optimistic that the legislature is beginning to have conversations about overhauling the tax code? Granted, well, I said conversations.
Yes. It seems like every 3 or 4 years they talk that line, and I am optimistic that they'll make some headway this time, I hope. Hopeful.
Yeah, hopeful. All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Now, Cole, you've never done this before, but you're going to do it today, by golly. We prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, and there's only one way to do it, and we all say it together. 3, 2, 1.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Everybody's got it. Back after these words.
This is Straight Talk.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
It's the only way that Substation 2 makes fresh subs and salads. All their meats, cheeses, and vegetables are sliced fresh right before your eyes. It's no wonder people keep coming back to Substation 2.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Did you spend too much money during the holidays? Save money by consolidating those high-interest credit cards into one easy payment with a Founders credit card. Founders has low balance transfer rates and no transfer fees. Visit foundersfcu.com for more information and to apply for your Founders credit card today. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Relax with Founders credit cards. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Good Pharmacy, with a modern look and traditional standards.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. All six of our pharmacists love serving you and your children. Ask us about alternatives for your child's medicine.
My mommy loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
We've brought it back for a limited time. The Hot Pastrami on Rye at Substation 2. This is Charlie Ruffalo. Delicious lean beef pastrami with provolone cheese, sliced fresh to order, served hot off the panini press and garden the way you want. Pastrami on Rye, now at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
I'm Amanda with Communities and Schools. I'm in school to connect at-risk students with community resources like food, shelter, and healthcare. I'm in school to support kids coping with losing a loved one, divorce, or bullying. I'm in school to partner with teachers, so what happens outside the classroom doesn't impact students' learning inside the classroom. Above all, I'm in school to help kids stay in school. See how we help all students succeed at communitiesandschools.org.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Dr. Chuck Epps, superintendent of the Fort Mill School District, with us today, along with Cole McKinney from the Catawba Regional Council of Governments. And we've got data, 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 and more data showing that the story is pretty much the same in Fort Mill. Growth, 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 as the superintendent said just a minute ago. Well over 1,000 students a year being added to the school system, somewhere between 1,100 and 1,200. And the impact fees that everybody thought would kill the residential development just does not materialize. In fact, $6 million is in escrow right now while the litigation gets underway between the State Realtors Association and the York County Council and, I guess, the school district as well. And you all are, if I remember right, from the public hearing, which was quite something, when you had 500 Fort Millians turning out saying, do this, do this, do this, and a council unanimously saying, okay, we'll do it. But they also said that
I think it was 6-1.
Oh, it was 6-1, pardon me. Well, I'm just trying to be positive, right?
I hear you.
But they also made sure that you all took on the responsibility for the litigation costs.
Exactly. And that was the disclaimer, and we agree to that, of course, since it's our issue. But we're paying the legal fees.
All right. With that being said, let's talk about the data. You referenced a couple of things, Cole, and you did as well, Doc. You obviously are using multiple different venues to come up with all of this.
Yeah, let me give you a little history on it. Back in the 92 through 95 time period, when I believe the Catawba Indian land claim was being meshed out, you know, things were held up for a while, the title insurance issues. And when that got settled, I don't know if that was the impetus for it or whether I-77 opened some more lanes or whatever, but it seems like things started piling in, residential growth in Fort Mill and coming south. So we were faced with these huge increases in enrollment, and the professionals were telling us, the numbers people were telling us, what you're facing is off the chart growth. It's unseen in most places. So we, to better assist us in planning, we figured more than one set of numbers would serve us well. So we privately worked with Dr. Dale Holden and Associates in the late 90s, started with him. We've been hooked up with Catawba Regional Council of Governments, or the COG, since about 1998. So, and we have our own in-house projections. And they all use different methodologies, and Cole can speak a little bit to that, but some live birth, some building permit. But amazingly enough, and our confidence is higher when we have more than one set of numbers, but amazingly enough, you mesh the three together and you look at midpoints, and we come just real close each year. So we've been proud of that. The recession hurt us, but we made accommodations for that, and we were still growing at 3% and 4% during that. So that's good. To tackle this huge animal, that's the approach we took.
So, Cole, from your perspective, when you're putting all this together, you're going about it in multiple ways?
Correct. So what we primarily look at are the building permit activities, the certificate of occupancies, which are issued once the structure is inhabitable, right? We also look at 911 address points, because that gives us a good gut check on if we're missing anything. You know, if we've got a 911 address that's been assigned and we haven't captured it via either building permit or COAs, that gives us another route to kind of go back in there and look at that. And then we also look at committed and prospective growth as well that we know is coming down the line. May not have been permitted yet, but the land has been purchased, and the developer is moving forward with development of that. So we'll communicate with them, find out when they're looking to have that come online so we can incorporate that as well, especially important for those larger developments. Dr. Epps said, Dr. Holden looks at it from a little bit different perspective. He's looking at live births and also in-migration, out-migration trends. So he's got a completely different methodology from what we're doing and what the school district is doing internally. But the great thing about that is kind of come about is that it's a good validation, I think, on all sides. Because as Dr. Epps said, over the history of the time that we've been doing this, it's been remarkable how close all of those methodologies tend to end up.
Now, with all that being said, and my dear friend John Reinhardt is right over here, so he'll nod his head. The average new home price for a house in Fort Mill is about $100,000 more than it is here in Rock Hill, maybe even a little bit more than that.
Probably more than that, yeah.
More than that. So is your data showing that this is pushing people down this way at all? Because, I mean, how many people can afford a $425,000 entry level house?
I think that's a significant issue. We're looking at that heavily at the COG right now. We did a housing study back in the fall in conjunction with the Department of Commerce on the heels of another program that we did. And some of the small area planning and comprehensive planning work that we're doing around the region is showing that same exact issue in that what I won't call affordable housing, but what I'll call workforce housing, there is a gap in that. That level of housing between where you qualify for Section 8 vouchers and where it becomes a burden, the housing cost becomes a burden on the average citizen, you know, where they're spending more than 30-40% of their income just on housing costs. We consider that to be burdened. So I would say that Fort Mill is well into that at this point. The teachers, law enforcement folks, even the city and county workers, those service-oriented employees that are filling all of those commercial jobs that are showing up in Fort Mill, there's not a place for them to live. You know, when you're talking $300,000-$400,000 starting for houses and $1,100-$1,200 in rent, it's hard to do that on those wages that those individuals earn.
So, Chuck, when you're out recruiting teachers, which you have to do every year because you have the flux that you have, this has got to come up. I mean, the issue must come up at the table.
Yeah, you're right. But what we counter that by being so close to Charlotte, and if you're young, and as Cole has mentioned, you can't afford that much of your income going toward a home. There are options to live in the area and still work in Fort Mill, but that will, going forward, that will hurt us in recruiting teachers.
Do you see the school district at some point getting into the so-called housing business, where you might build attractive houses that would be strictly for teachers?
We're looking at all options. You know, that used to be the case back in the early days. You'd build houses for the superintendent and some of the principals. Of course, they were small mill towns then. It wasn't near the issue it is now. But to attract people to come to your district, that was commonplace. But as I said, we're looking at any and all avenues. Currently, there's a 5% proposed increase in teacher salaries at the state level, which I think will pass. And that'll help. That'll certainly help. But, we bank on people wanting to come to Fort Mill because of the quality of the workplace, too. So hopefully we can attract people in spite of some of these issues with affordability.
So go ahead, Cole.
And I would just emphasize, too, this is not an issue that's unique to Fort Mill either. We're seeing this in the panhandle of Lancaster, for example. And even seeing it in some areas that are just starting to develop, like around the Richburg exit in Chester County, where we're starting to see some development coming in and a lot of interest in development coming in, but they have the same housing gap that we have in some of these other areas as well.
Well, our own mayor here in Rock Hill has pointed this issue up.
Absolutely.
Because as Knowledge Park continues to grow, with all these new people coming in, they got to have a place to place to live,
right.
And they have the issue of gentrification. Because, you know, everybody's values are going to go up
right.
All around that Knowledge Park. So, woo! So it's fair to say that your data at some point is going to see people start moving further south.
I would think so. You know, I think we're already seeing some of that. But I would think that would probably intensify. I mean, that's essentially what's happened through this entire process as we've watched it. It's moved further and further south. No matter how much it pains some people to admit it, a lot of this started in Charlotte, in the south end of Charlotte, and then started pushing into the Fort Mill TK area back in the 90s, and has continued to do that. So I don't think there's any question that that's going to continue to happen.
Of course, a bigger issue, Chuck, is, and I'm glad to hear the legislators talking about this, but I sit at this table day after day after day, and I tell legislator friends of mine, somebody's got to be bold enough to change the model, the overall model for compensating teachers. This 2%, 3%, even 5%, that's not a big deal. It is not a big deal in terms of what you have to compete against in the private sector. But I don't know why nobody's been bold enough to say, hey, we want all these manufacturers here and they want all this talent. By God, we got to have just as good a talent in that classroom.
That's right. Well, maybe Governor McMaster's proposal, it kind of gets at bringing in commerce in those areas of South Carolina that don't have it, and hopefully that's all connected toward bringing in good people.
Well, gentlemen, thank you. Chuck Epps, thanks for all that you do at Fort Mill. Cole, thank you.
Absolutely.
And the Catawba Regional Council of Governments for what you do as well. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech John. I'm too busy with this T-shirt. And by the way, we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes. Right over there, Tom Brad, we got to speak up now. Here we go. How do we do it now? Slice. Not bad, guys. Not bad. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio Monday. Bye.